right. Hello again, everybody. Welcome once again to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag GiantsChat. I am Russ Salzberg, joined by my buddy here, Paulie Dotz, Paul Dottino. And let's just say, earlier in the season, when you and I were looking at the schedule, as fans and everybody else does, we looked on the schedule and say, well, this one should be an easy one. We marked down the one in San Francisco at Levi Stadium. It should be an easy one.
Times have changed.
Times have changed. it is the attitude, a win by any means necessary.
Indeed.
By hook or be crook, whatever you got to do, just get the W.
You know, Russ, it's interesting to me because as desperate as the Giants have to be for a win, and God knows we know firsthand how desperate they
right.
are, imagine how the people in San Francisco feel. They are winless right now. And as bad as you believe the one-win Giants need this win, the people in San Francisco and the players in San Francisco, my goodness, they got a goose egg on their slate. And they probably wanted as much, if not more.
Oh, no. As far as wanting it, that goes without question. Listen, I don't care. You can ask any manager, head coach in football, basketball, hockey, managers in baseball. The most dangerous teams to play are the ones that are hungry, that you know, the gimmies. You know, I never like that.
Yeah.
I never like that situation because I don't buy it a trap game.
Right.
I don't buy that nonsense of trap games. It, to me, this is professional sports. If you're dumb enough to take something for granted in pro sports, then shame on you mm-hmm. for it to happen. The difference, though, we're all going to admit it, the Giants weren't expected to be where they are. Nobody expected anything from the Niners. Having said that, when you're 0-whatever, 0-9, again, their attitude is the same thing. Give us a win by any means necessary.
Yeah, I think you could easily say that the frustration here is incredibly high because of the expectations. You know, when you talk about Vegas saying the Giants are going to win like 9 games, depending upon which people in Vegas you talk to, and certainly be a playoff contender, and if not even a higher contender for the Super Bowl potentially, like I personally felt, the frustration just goes tenfold. Okay, you're right. The San Francisco 49ers, I think by some accounts, their over-under was like 3 or 4 wins. And so,
well look,
you know, their frustration
yeah.
can't nearly be what the Giants are. But nonetheless, the fact that you have a goose egg in the W column is not
sure.
fun for anybody.
No, listen, these guys are pros. They all were good college players. Coming from winning programs.
Oh, sure.
It's hard to swallow. I mean, it's hard to swallow for all parties concerned.
Hey, they got media in San Francisco that are talking to them every day, too, you know.
Yeah. Not like the media here, though. not like the media here. You know, and I've said this once before. I shouldn't say, folks, I've said it once before. I've said it several times here, certainly with Paulie with me. And if it wasn't Paulie, it was with David Deal. Look. There is no making excuses for what has transpired this season. It has been a lousy season for everybody involved. And everybody will admit it. The top of the organization, to the people who clean the building, everybody will admit it. What bothers me, though, and, you know, Paulie and I have been members of the media here 30 years in this town anyway. Mm-hmm. Look, people have certain agendas. And when people in the Giants organization, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the Giants Chamber of Commerce, but when you want to severely criticize and call for people's heads and their jobs and their livelihoods based on – because they assess the talent the wrong way, so it's their fault the Giants are in this position. Like I've said several times here, if you in the media – assess the talent the same way and pick the Giants to go to the Super Bowl, then should you lose your jobs based on your assessment? Because how silly were you? You hyped up the team. So, you know, what's fair is fair. I just think...
If that's the case, Russ, then neither one of us should be sitting here right now.
No.
Because we both thought they were going to go, too.
No, but hold on a second. But we're not calling for everybody's job.
No.
That's the difference. And you know what? I have not heard one person. I've heard you say it. I've not heard one person. All these harsh critics of the Giants, I've not heard one person say, my bad. I picked them to win the Super Bowl. My bad. I picked them to go 10-6. My bad. I picked them to be a playoff team. You know, if somebody would have said prior to the season, you guys are nuts. Oh, you guys are nuts. You're picking the Giants to do this and to do that. They're crap. This is no good. The defense is overrated. Offense. If you wanted to say that and then this shows up, then you can pop your buttons, stick out your chest, and say, I told you so.
Sure.
But that's not the case.
No.
I haven't heard one person. I haven't one person look anybody in the face in that locker room and say, I haven't heard one person raise their hand and look at Jerry when he had his press conference, or Ben say, yeah, you know what? I was with you. I thought we were going to the Super Bowl. I didn't hear Jerry and Ben say we're going to the Super Bowl. They didn't create the hype. I got the preseason stuff in my bag. 10-6, 10-6. News post, 10-6, 10-6. 27-24, Giants are beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl. Daily News. Eli, going to do it again to Tom Brady. Well, you made that assessment. Based on what? Based on a talent. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't go ahead, make your pick, and then beat somebody else up for you making the same assessment. That's not fair. I haven't heard one person say, my bad. That's the only thing that bothers me. I mean, listen, I've been critical of people my entire career. But let's be fair about it. And if you don't like it, well, that's too bad. But, yeah, I mean, that's what being fair is. Just man up or lady up and say, yeah, I was wrong too.
One of the more fun things of years past, and, of course, the newspapers have changed over the years, is when Mr. Steve Serbia of the New York Post, and I say that because I do have respect for him.
Oh, terrific.
Used to have the Mr. Loser column every week.
Yes.
And he would
Which
admit,
was a great column.
He would admit to all the missed picks that he had the previous week.
But Steve Serbia is not in
No,
that I
no, and
said.
I bring that up because this is a guy who would stand up to what it is that he
yeah,
wrote.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you know, that's it. You know, this is not the Manhattan Project. We're not dropping a bomb here. You know, but if you're going to go ahead and whack people, then look yourselves in the mirror. That's all I'm saying. Look yourselves in the mirror. And that's the only thing that – everybody is entitled to criticism. Everybody's entitled to criticism. And when you are 1-7, boy, stand up and line up to take your criticism. But you know what? Some media members, likewise, get in line too, because you know what? You can't just say one thing and then do something else, because you know what that is? That's spread and fertilizer. That's what that is. What do you say we open up the lines, Paulie?
Let's go.
All right, 201-939-4513 is the number. On Twitter, it is #GiantsChat. Let's go to Washington, D.C., check in with Tony. Tony, how you doing today? You're on with Russ and Paulie.
Hey, gents. Thanks for taking my call.
Hello.
What's up?
So we got to get into the Eli Manning conversation, because it's crazy out here in fan base and media and such.
Right.
That's because everything's being taken out of context. I wish you guys all were able to read the real story, but unfortunately, too many people want to create headlines.
Exactly. But here's what everyone needs to understand. I'm including the Giants, you know, ownership. If it is time to move on from Eli Manning, it has to be because there's a new direction. It cannot be because he's being scapegoated for the failures of the season. I called in a few weeks ago talking about how the team was so injured and how that affected, you know, the winning and the performance. And, you know, Coach Coughlin unfortunately paid the price of that, and a lot of fans didn't like it, but it was what it was. Fans are not going to like it if we move on from Eli Manning, and the image is that, well, it's because he wasn't the guy making the plays anymore. That will never do it. And I say that to say this. I don't doubt David's West talent or anything like that. But unless you're talking about like a Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold on the roster, there is just no way you can pass on the reins from Eli Manning to Davis Webb in this fashion. You know what I'm saying? It's going to have to be a total change of direction before Eli, you know, is no longer the starting quarterback of the New York Giants. And I really say that's towards the ownership. If it looks like he's being scapegoated, I'm telling you, the fans will hate it because we felt that way with Coughlin. We are not going to like it if that happens to Eli.
Well,
that's all I got. Love the show.
Tony, thank you. But I will say one thing, though. First of all, while some people might want to scapegoat him, the organization is not scapegoating Eli Manning. And I don't think Eli Manning is taking a seat anytime soon. I think he's going to be starting, quite frankly, the rest of the year. I think the situation is, you know, especially if they're in games where, and hopefully it doesn't happen, but if they're in games where they're getting thumped and they're going to want to, that's when you would see Davis Webb put in to take a look. Would you not agree?
Yeah, there are two points I want to address within your phone call, and I think they're both very relevant. I think, first of all, in reference to what Russ just said, and I want to make this very clear because I think that Coach McAdoo's comments have been taken out of context more than once in the last week or two. What he's telling people, okay, is that, yes, it's absolutely plausible and possible that Davis Webb will take snaps this season. It's something I predicted in August. So I'm not at all surprised or taken aback by that.
But you are a soothsayer.
However, well, we'll see. Maybe the kid won't get in the game.
Right.
But here's what I will say, and I'm on board with this too. It will be in a relief role.
Without question.
It will not be at the expense of Eli Manning. Because
unless he was hurt and couldn't play.
Correct. Because Eli Manning has not performed at a substandard level. When you talk about what's wrong with this team right now, okay, he's not played great. I would say Eli Manning has played above average this year. He's been okay.
Yeah.
Somewhat inconsistent, but okay.
Well, the inconsistency was a lot to do with the surroundings around him as well. But
exactly. Yeah. And that's my point.
But he's coming off a lousy game. Which
sure he is.
Everybody.
That was his worst game of the season,
that was a
in my opinion.
That was a sticker, in my opinion.
Yeah. However, are you guys forgetting that he brought this team back from the dead to take the lead in the fourth quarter against Philadelphia and Tampa Bay, and the defense on the final drives of those games gave up those games? Okay. If Eli Manning was as bad as some people want to say that he needs to be removed from the lineup, those comebacks never would have happened. So let's make that very clear. Eli Manning still has it, whatever it is that great quarterbacks have. He still has that inside of him. So A, he doesn't deserve to be benched. And B, Coach McAdoo is simply telling you that you might see Davis Webb. He has never used the words Davis Webb might start a game this year.
Well,
never. The newspapers have told you that.
You use the term out of context. I was sitting there post-game when, you know, Ben McAdoo was asked the question. I'm paraphrasing now. Was asked the question about, you know, are certain positions not up for grabs, but basically Ben said, we'll look at everything. And a follow-up was, does that include the quarterback? And Ben said, we'll look at everything. Right away, that was taken for granted as that means the quarterback, you know, Eli's thrown under the bus. I didn't hear that. You just lost 51-17. Yeah, you're going to look at everything. You damn well should be looking at everything.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, what did you want the guy to say? Folks, believe me, we're not sitting here. Paul's not sitting here. I'm not sitting here defending 51-17 or 1-7. There is nothing there. It's indefensible. There's nothing there to defend, okay? Other than saying if some guys are injured, then yeah, that sucks. But that's not the reason. That's not the reason you're 1-7, okay? There's been some, you know, god-awful bad playing of football, okay? And it was highlighted last week. But Eli, and I said this yesterday, I will say it again. My skin was crawling. I left the press box about 2 minutes earlier than normal. I usually wait to the end of the game. I went down, and I'm watching the guys come off the field. And I'm hearing fans booing and heckling Eli Manning. Don't tell me you're a good Giants fan if you can boo or heckle Eli Manning, because I'm going to tell you something. What that guy has meant to this organization, he's never been a dog. He's been there day in, day out, every damn Sunday, and you want to boo him? No. You want to criticize and say, oh, I don't know about, you know, Eli this or Eli that. That's fine. But you're going to boo and heckle Eli Manning? Shame on you. That was disgraceful. 201-939-4513 is the number. Let's go to Connecticut and speak with Marco. Marco, how are you today?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good. What's going on, Marco?
I was listening, and I've been listening the last few days, and I just want to call about some of the things you guys are talking about, about the media and the criticism and some of the predictions that came out. But, Paul, when I heard over the summer when you mentioned that Davis Webb prediction, but I have to think that you did not think it was going to come. His playing time is not going to come in this way that you thought. You thought maybe, hey, we're going to be up big in some games and we're going to be able to put the kid in. Is that correct?
That was the logical assessment, that there would be some type of game either where the Giants would be well ahead, or if they had clinched the division a week or two early, there'd be an opportunity to get Davis Webb in relief and maybe some point in the last couple of weeks of the season. Of course, I always throw in the caveat, well, it could always go the other way, but I don't expect it to. So sure. That's how I saw it. But I still think there is some logic in getting Davis Webb some snaps. And I will say this. If you've talked to Davis Webb, and we do all the time, in fact, he talked to the entire media corps yesterday, he will tell you there has been tremendous value about being a sponge to this team and to Eli Manning. And I would say to you, there is much to be gained, even if he does not play, Russ. Even if he does not play, to be around Eli and to see how Eli navigates this adversity is also an educational tool that Davis Webb will be able to use later in his career.
And believe me, Marco, he's getting a firsthand, because with the team 1-7, they put his locker right next to Eli.
They sure did.
You know, at the beginning of the season, and that's for a reason, to watch and take in everything. So, he's learning.
And it's no coincidence that Davis also said yesterday that the number one thing that he's already learned from Eli, and he said, I learned 1,000 things from him every day, is that you have to be even keel, because all the players in that locker room respect him because he is always so cool, always so even keel, always works as hard as he can each and every day, and that's something that Davis Webb has already taken from Eli Manning. That's a good thing.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I like Davis Webb, and I didn't expect that we'd be talking about him in this way this early. But I'll call back again and talk about Davis Webb and what I think about that. But, Russ, just what you were saying earlier about the criticism, this has been a year where Twitter especially has just really ignited a lot of the stuff that I think you were talking about.
Listen, Marco, I couldn't agree with you more, but that's the world we live in of social media now, so there's no escaping it.
It is. But, you know, someone comes out with something, and it's taken out of context, and fans are riled up. But so just hear me out on this. I went to the Detroit game this year. It was the first home game I've been to in a long time.
Right.
I went because I wanted to see, you know, who was being honored at halftime, and I was really excited about that. The boos started and did not stop, and this is what I took from it. People are frustrated. It really is what it is.
Sure.
People are mad. I mean, I'm mad. I am mad, but what's going on here, and I know you guys can't comment on this, but just taking like a long-eyed view of Coach McAdoo. You know, Coach Spagnuolo meets with the media, too, on every Thursday or Friday. And the he has not had a good year. The defense has not had a good year. He's had two players on his side of the ball that have been suspended, two players that are two of our best players on the team.
Right.
The defense has been bad. Players that we really counted on have had really big setbacks this year. The media, from my vantage point, you guys could tell me differently, are good to Spags. I know he's got a history here.
Well,
I love Spags.
Yeah, but Marco, I'll let you finish, but understand sure. one thing.
Sure.
It's the same deal. You know, we'll go back to the days, you know, it's like the backup quarterback. Okay, like when Haas was here, you know, the assistant coaches, the coordinators, it's not the same. They're not asked the same questions. They're not same. They're not the probing, cutting questions, trying to be the one to tweak Ben. Nobody wants to tweak Mike Sullivan. Nobody wants to tweak Spags. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a different
totally
dynamic.
And you must totally. Also understand Spags has won a Super Bowl as a coordinator here with the Giants. He's had great success. And even 2 years ago, I think everybody in retrospect in that media newspaper room understood that he was dealing with a stunted deck. And yet the Giants were in almost every game during Tom Coughlin's last season. Because he did such a masterful job. It might have been the best coaching job he's ever done to keep that team into games. So, you know, and then, of course, last year we saw what the defense was, number one in the NFC. So Spags himself, right in front of everybody's eyes here, firsthand, has done a marvelous job on more than one occasion. So you know he's going to get some slack. He has to. He's earned it.
Here, listen, I'll jump off after this. But I'm curious, especially from you two, because I think you guys have been around the team for so long. Fans have said this in the last few weeks, and I think you guys disagreed with it, but I feel strongly about it, that this is the worst season since the Ray Hanley era, and you want to lump coaching into that. I was a fan then, but I don't really remember the inner workings of that, you know, like post Parcells, what went into all that. I would love if you guys shared a little bit about
it.
But I'm just going to say that this specifically is going to be John Mara's one of his most important transitions, because moving on from Coughlin, this team does not want to recycle coaches and especially GMs, and they've done a good job of being stable, especially at the GM position.
That's been the hallmark of the organization.
A lot of things. Well, absolutely, and I appreciate that as a fan, man. I do. This team is not the Cleveland Browns, but they a big look, especially at those two roles, GM and head coach, 2 years in now with Ben. And the old and aging quarterback, Eli, which I'm with you guys. This guy is fine. He's a good quarterback. But I don't think they ever thought they'd be picking this year when there's all these Super Bowl predictions. They did not think that they were going to be picking in the top three or five.
Right.
So you are forced now to look at the top quarterbacks. You have to if you're picking
well,
that
well,
high.
Well, Marco, at one and seven, they're looking at everything. You have to assess – everything, top to bottom. So there is no disputing that. We totally concur. At 1-7, if I'm sitting in a position and I own a team at 1-7, I got to look at everything. Now, that doesn't mean I'm doing this move, that move, because this is on Twitter and that's on Facebook and yada, yada, yada. And the last thing you can do, the worst thing you can do is make those decisions. You've heard it several times before, Marco. The worst thing you could possibly do is make those decisions when the wounds are open, when they're raw, when you're angry, when you're PO'd, when you're ticked off. You got to sit back. You got to swallow it. You got to eat the crap and make the assessment in a calm, civil manner, because otherwise you're going to do what you're afraid that they might do, Marco, is make the wrong decision.
Marco, you're one of the best callers we have on the show, so if I haven't said this before, let me get this on record while we're having this conversation. It is my belief, from an educated football perspective, Eli Manning will be the starting quarterback of the Giants in 2018. Davis Webb will be the number two quarterback. The Giants will not draft a quarterback in the first round, and they will try to trade that very high pick for a boatload of picks to expand the value of that very high pick that they're going to have in April. And I firmly believe that, and I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay.
Paul, music to my ears.
All right, Marco.
All right.
All right,
talk
buddy.
You
thank you. Good caller. 201-939-4513. But again, listen. Making rash decisions only puts you deeper in a hole that you're already in. You can't. And you can't react to the criticism. And you know what? I know a lot of you fans don't want to hear that. Ben can't react to it either. And Jerry can't react to it. You know, they're big boys. They'll tell you they can take it. They have to go ahead and continue to do their jobs. And whether you like it or not, their job is to try and get this ship righted and going in the right direction. Dave in Cranford. Dave, how are we doing today?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hi.
What's going on, Davey?
Good. Hey, Paul, I want to get your comments on this, and you said a lot of things that I agree with just on the last caller, which was helpful. There's one person in the organization that I have a lot of confidence in, and it's John Mara. And every time he speaks to the media and the way he carries himself, it's clear as an owner that he actually cares. And it sounds funny, but that not every fan of every other team that owns a team thinks that the owner necessarily cares.
And, it's the family business. He has to.
It's a family business. It means something to him. He's able to talk and understand the emotions of the fan. My concern is exactly what you're talking about, is just that with the games coming up, particularly, you know, I think about the Dallas game and the Eagle game at home at the end of the season. The chance that, you know, the majority of the fans in that building are going to be Eagles fans and Cowboy fans is very large. And I just think the optics are going to be, you know, put Mara in a really tough spot in order to kind of, you know, in if we think that the right decision here is to keep Reese and McAdoo, and I do think they're tied at the hip. I think either both of them go or both of them stay. And I'd just like to get your comments about that, because I like the Giants from a stability standpoint, but I think this year, while we've all lived through rough years as Giant fans in over the years, I can't remember a year for a very long time where expectations and the actual product on the field were so disproportionate, and that the expectations going into the season were so great and the delivery's been so poor. That, to me, is where I think the stress is going to come on Mara, is how to justify that decision. I'd just like, Paul, to get your thoughts on that.
Well, let me take the second part of your question first. After the Super Bowls in 86 and 90, in 87 there was the strike season, and of course everybody thought that the Giants had a chance to repeat, but the strike season really ruined that opportunity. Remember, Coach Parcells really was just left with a bunch of ragtag guys at the start of the year, and that thwarted their chances to go back to the Super Bowl. So that was disappointing, but for a different reason. After the 1990 Super Bowl, Bill resigns in the spring. Ray Handley comes in, and of course, that team just struggled and just, oh my goodness, the muffler and the brakes were falling off, and it was just a mess. Now, they weren't a three-win team, but the Ray Handley era was certainly incredibly disappointing, because the Giants did not make the playoffs in either of his two seasons with a core that should have had at least another run in it.
Well, again,
it should have.
Yes, it definitely should have had.
Because Dan Reeves got him back to the playoffs in '93.
But Ray was.
He was a different bird.
Ray, you know what? I'll never forget it. And thank you for the call, Dave. I will never forget. You remember Manny's and Munaki?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm sitting having lunch with Bill, with Parcells. And I looked at him, and this was, I guess it was in Hanley's second season. And, you know, I had my little thing with Hanley. But I asked Bill, because Bill was the one who, you know, anointed him. Bill said he's the right guy and he's this and that, and he gave him his blessing to be, you know, his successor. And we were certainly at the press conference. But I asked Bill, I said, so let me ask you a question. You see what's going on now. How did you come up with him to be the guy? Not that you picked him, but you certainly gave the thumbs up for it. How did you come for Ray Handley to be the guy? And he said something to me that I've never forgotten. He said, Russ, you never know how a guy becomes the man until he becomes the man. He was the best assistant he could. He would tell you he was as good an assistant he could have possibly had, with numbers and extremely intelligent. But you never know. You can be. Listen, there are guys in this league who have been tremendous coordinators. but they're just not good head coaches. So that was a different, you know, that was the difference. Listen, Ray Hanley never had an 11-5 season. Look, who's North Turner? Is not a tremendous offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, that's just the way it rolls.
I think you know, just to finish his inquiry, you would also have to put the 2001 team in there, because they go to the 2000 Super Bowl, as you remember, against the Ravens, and have a really rough showing in that game against Baltimore. But then they come back, and everyone's thinking, well, they'll be a playoff team again. But what happened? The offensive line got old overnight.
Right.
Glenn Parker, Dusty Ziegler was injured. Glenn Parker got, like, he became Methuselah within, like, a month. And Lomas Brown at left tackle all of a sudden just lost it.
Right.
And that offensive line crumbled like a cookie. And the 2001 team didn't come anywhere near being a playoff team. So that was a big disappointment, because they were coming off a Super Bowl appearance. And then for me, I think the only other one that you could possibly equate, because we all know what happened with Plexico after the 2007 Super Bowl and how things in 2008 went bad because he had his problem. Again, unique situation. That was a great team. In fact, it was a better team than the 2007.
Yeah, well, it was. But that's a unique situation.
Unique situation.
That's different.
I do think the 2002 team that lost in San Francisco in the playoffs, we all thought in 2003 Jim Fossil was going to get that team back there again. And they lost their last 8 games of the year, got blown out in 7 of them, and Fossil was gone during the offseason. To me, that smells an awful lot like what's happening right now with this team.
No, I would agree with you. I would agree with you. All right, let's go back to the phones, 201-939-4513. Boy, we haven't heard from him in a while. Let's go to Rockville Center and speak with Bam Bam. Bam Bam, how are we doing today?
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Hi.
My call was for Paul, but I was going to ask you a question, but you kind of just answered it. I had heard you on The Fan, and you'd mentioned that you didn't think the Giants would draft a quarterback. Is that assuming that the current regime is back?
No, I don't think it matters at all. I think this organization was extremely impressed with Davis Webb going into the draft, and I think they continue to be impressed as they've watched him. Since he's arrived on campus, he's got nothing but rave reviews from the people inside the building. And so it is my belief that they feel very, very solid in him. And I will tell you this. I've talked to some NFL people, and they may not be putting their names to the quotes in the papers or putting their faces out on television, but they're not nearly as high, at least some who I've talked to, on the top 3 quarterbacks in this draft as some other people are.
Right. Now, I'm no scout, as you can tell. I'm calling into the show. but I paid attention to the quarterbacks more this year because of what's happened on the field. And the guys like Rosen and Dunner, and I don't really see it. I mean,
you
see some great throws, but these guys are making a lot of mistakes for college quarterbacks that should be dominating at that level. So I'm kind of with you on the idea of picking high this year if they can kind of get a bunch of picks back. But I'm not so sure I agree, though. If there's a new regime in town, those people in the building that have those high reviews for Weber gone. But, you know, who knows? We'll see.
Well, remember, it's the personnel department and the scouts who wrote the report and the file on Davis Webb. Okay? Now, maybe it's true. You know, Ben McAdoo was asked about him because he was a quarterback guru. And obviously, Jerry Reese had to push the button to make the pick. But it was all based on the reports and the files
that
the personnel people
right.
and the scouts gave. And right, those guys right. haven't changed their opinion. And chances are most of those guys would still be here even if there was a change.
Well,
gotcha. Now, one thing, guys, before I go, Paul and Russ, what the scariest thing to me is looking forward under contract next year, offensive line, Flowers, Wheeler, Bisnawati, Jones. That is very – and Hart, I'm sorry. That's very scary. So appreciate you taking the call, and I'll try to check in a little bit more. But I know Paul doesn't like negativity on the show, so I've tried to stay away until my emotions
okay.
No,
listen, Bam Bam.
It's okay.
There's nothing wrong with your opinions, and at 1-7 – listen, negativity, you know, surrounds us right now. We get that. It's just, you know, some of the things that you're asking in this particular situation, it's speculation because you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going on this coming Sunday. So
right.
it's hard to say who and what's going to pick because you don't know.
I do think they're going to win on Sunday. They've been hearing, they're going to hear all week how bad they are.
Oh, boy.
I do think they're going to go in there. I think the defense will kind of show a little grit. It's not saying much, but I do think they'll get a win this Sunday and, you know, maybe one or two more as the rest of the season goes on. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, okay, Ben. Sure. Interesting thought, though, about the pick. And again, I do believe that their course and their best course of action is to trade it if they get that high pick that we're all assuming they're going to have in the top five, top three. I will tell you this, Russ, and you know, anyone who's listening to this show, I love the trenches. I'm all about the trenches. And you have to rebuild this offensive line. There's no question about it. So, you know, the opposite end of that coin is, well, Paul, if the Giants get a top three pick, don't they have to pick a tackle? Well, to this point, from what I've been told, there are no offensive tackles that have that kind of value in the draft.
Right.
In fact, at very best, they're low first-round talents. So you are much better off trading the pick, getting a boatload and moving down, and then compiling guys later on. Because there are no Jonathan Ogdens in this draft, from what I understand. Now, that could change because there's always the possibility that some super stud juniors might declare. And all of a sudden, now they're on the draft board, and now that dynamic is different because the sea of talent has opened up, and there are better guys to pick. But we're going to assume the Giants are a top five, top three pick. At this point, just so you're aware, and I'm certainly going to put an asterisk here, Russ, because if somebody does come out, I want to be able to change my mind. But I'm trading that pick.
No, I would agree with that. The thing where it becomes, other than first-rounders, folks, really, other than first rounders, you know, we don't see all the talent. We don't see who's your third and fourth and fifth rounders. We're not assessing somebody from the smaller schools. I always laugh sometimes because who's watching them? You know, you're getting it on information from what you're reading about. So it to me, it's always been hard for me to say, like, other than a surefire guy, like you're talking about Darnold or Rosen from UCLA, you know, but the clear-cut guys, you know, that stand out, other than them, you don't know. So it's hard for me to say what they would do. But I would agree with Paul. You know, if that's the case, they have been high one way or the other, but – With that pick, I think they'll do some wheeling and dealing, as you would say. Charlie in Portland. Is that Portland, Maine, or Portland, Oregon?
Portland, Maine. Okay. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I just got to say, Eli is not our problem. If you go from 1 to 53 on what the players who are a problem, he's 53. He's not the problem on this team. When you're scheming for the weakness of your offensive line and you're not scheming to the strength of your quarterback, you have a problem.
And yeah, I agree with you, Charlie.
That plays out. And I just want to say about the defense, we've got 17 guys on IR. We've got three defensive starters out the last two or three games, Casillas, OV, and who's the other guy? I can't remember now. Oh, Goodson. And as you know, when Spags doesn't have talent, his defense doesn't play very well. And
at the beginning of the season,
they weren't playing as well either. But it really hurts him a lot because he can't use everything in his arsenal. How many times have you seen a safety blitz in the last few games? I don't remember seeing one or two. And that was one of our big plays was, you know, getting Landon Collins in there or getting one of the corners in there to you know, get some pressure. So when he doesn't have the talent, our defense doesn't play well. And I know he's had to dumb it down a little bit. And, I mean, there's no excuse for last week. It was awful. But it doesn't help when your coach is suspending your best players the 2 weeks in a row. That doesn't help your situation on your defense either. So, you know, I see what it is, and it isn't Eli, for God's sakes. He is one of the best quarterbacks. I mean, he's played his best last year. I mean, he was the only guy who really played in that playoff game. And Eli is a competitor, and I think we'll win this game this week because Eli will win this game this week because Eli doesn't usually have two bad games in a row.
That's true.
And I think he'll come out strong. And it would be ironic because McAdoo kind of got the job because of Eli stood up for him and said, hey, I like this guy. I like what we're doing with the offense, and I'd love to have him as a head coach. And if McAdoo throws him under the bus,
but
that is pretty bad.
But you know what, Charlie? See, that's let's clear something on that. I think that has been a falsehood. McAdoo hasn't thrown him under the bus.
Well, I know. I'm saying if he did something like that.
He would. That's not going to happen. Right. He's not going to throw him under the bus. And I'm glad you brought it up, Charlie, because that's something, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the post-game press conference last week. Well, I'm going to look at everything. Does that include quarterbacks? Yes. He said it includes everybody. Hello? That does not throw somebody under the bus. I'm not saying you're saying it, Charlie, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, definitely. And so we'll see. I think the thing that was really sad is all this self-evaluation. You had a bye week, and they're all going to look at what the problems were and to come out and play like that. I think the only thing that needs to be flushed is our GM and our coach, but that's just me. Thanks, guys, for taking my call, and have a great day.
All right, Charlie.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
One of his better calls, I will say.
While we're up in Maine, let's stay in Maine and check in with Jason. Jason, how you doing today?
Good. How about you, fellas?
What's going on, Jace?
Hey, just a couple things for you. I just asked both of you guys. You obviously saw this game, probably watched more of it. I'm just wondering, defensively, what was the specific thing that happened to us? Because you just saw multiple times it seemed like these guys were wide open. And I'm just wondering, was it a safety issue this time? Was it cornerbacks? Was it the secondary altogether? Were they just getting beat? What specifically happened to us this past week defensively?
Well, let me just open up, and then I'll let Paulie take over. On the 3rd and 33, and that's where I sat there, threw my hands up in the air, and say, I have no answer to this. We're sitting exactly how we're sitting now. Paul sits to my left in the press box. I just looked at him. He looked at me, and it's like, huh? Like, I don't care if that's Stratomatic football, if that's like peewee football, 3rd and 33, this is the NFL. There was no excuse for that. You asked me, I still can't figure it out. I mean, they were just looking, Jace, they were just looking to get some yardage. Am I right, Paul? Mm-hmm. They were just looking to get some yardage. It goes for a 52-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. So I'm still wondering what the hell happened. I can't figure it out.
Okay, but were they just – do you think were they missing assignments or what – like were they lost on some plays? They're just trying to figure out how they got beat so bad.
In some cases, guys took bad angles. In other cases, guys were in bad spots to begin with. In other cases, guys tried to then cover up for another guy and then got caught in himself in a bad spot. I mean, and then quite frankly, other guys didn't attack the ball like they should have. I mean, you put all these things together, guess what? You get beaten for a touchdown.
Yeah, okay.
Seriously, all those things happened. That's how bad that play was.
I mean, you think about it, Jason. 3rd and 33. If you hold them to 31 and 32 yards, they're going to kick a field goal.
Right.
I mean, that to me, that was, you know, Murphy's Law, what can go wrong will go wrong. That to me capsulized what can go wrong has gone wrong for the Giants this season. I mean, that to me was just the absolute headbanger, head scratcher. I mean, you know, it was awful.
Okay. The only other question I had was just concerned over Richburg. He had that concussion. He was out for a number of weeks. Now he's out for the season. Has he is he badly in this protocol? I mean, I don't know much about concussions, but is this a real serious issue for him, or why is he out for the year?
No, well, I do think that he'll be back next season. From what I understand, you know, the whole concussion protocol thing, which, as we know, is an independent deal done with the NFL, okay, that's not something the team has any say over. He's got to pass the certain test before they let him back on the practice field.
I saw him yesterday, and I asked him how he was doing. He said he's getting better. He looked a little glum, but, Jason, when you're 1-7, you're glum. But let me ask you a question, Paul. Will he be back? He's a free agent. I mean, he's up, and
it's certainly in limbo what his future is with the Giants because he is unrestricted. But in terms of you're asking about his health and his ability to play football again, I would say based on what I've seen of him, he certainly feels a whole lot better. And I think as time continues to pass, I would hope for his sake that he is playing football again next season, regardless of what team it's for. Maybe it's the Giants, maybe it's not. But I'm getting the impression he is significantly better. And so I don't think you have to, if you're asking about his health, I don't think you have to worry about his health. I think he's going to be okay.
I certainly, Jason, want him to be back. I like him. I think it's unfortunate what's happened. But just looking from a business standpoint, I don't know because, quite frankly, his substitute, the guy who's taken over for him, Brett Jones, is probably – one of the truly bright spots for the Giants in what has been a dismal season. Would you not agree with that, Paulie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so that's another reason why. Listen, if you didn't have anybody at center playing some good football, then you'd say, oh, for sure he's coming back. But I just, as much as I like Weston Richburg, I just don't know because Brett Jones really has been a very, very much a bright spot for the Giants in what has been a dismal season.
Okay. Well, hey, guys, thanks. Have a good rest of the day.
Okay. Thank
All
you,
right,
Jason.
Care.
Again, folks, 201-939-4513 is the number. You know what, Paul? It's 1-7. Everybody's frustrated.
It's why we're talking about draft picks and trades and people's jobs.
Who'd have thunk it? We'd be sitting here talking about draft and, moving up in the draft and this. You don't know.
Let me give you just in terms of my logic about the draft and what the Giants might do if they're in the top five or top three. For example, the Redskins traded 4 picks to the Rams to get the number 2 overall choice, which the Giants may have the number 2 choice. They're certainly in that ballpark right now.
I hope the hell they're not.
All right. But realistically speaking, they could be.
Yes.
Rams got 4 picks for that choice. All right. They got the number 6, the number 39 overall. They got the number 22 overall. I'm sorry, they got the number 6 and the number 39. They got next year's 22 and the following year's number 2. 4 picks for the number 2 overall choice, and they used it to draft RG3. Now, they got burned, okay? Redskins got burned, but that's the point. When you're a desperate team and you've got to have that, quote, franchise quarterback, and you can get up into the top 5 or the top 3, my goodness, you open up your wallet, you give the guy next door the key to the vault, and you say, what is it that I got to do? I'll pay anything to get up there.
Well,
that's what the Giants need to do. We're talking about 4 picks.
And if that's why what you always like to say, Paulie, you better be right. Because it's not a guaranteed science.
Hey, it's not my problem if the other team is right or wrong. Right. I just want the picks.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is you better be right with your picks.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know what? Here's why. Listen, folks, everybody, till we're blue in the face, we can talk about the frustration of a 1-7 season. But there are 8 games left. And these 8 games, no matter what your stance is, whether you want a new regime, whether you want this, whether you want that, no matter what your stance is, these 8 games coming up are crucial to moving forward because you have to make this type of assessment. Is this fixable? Does this have to be a wholesale clean out? We got to rebuild from ground up. You have to – You have to look at that, and I don't think that's the case. You can't have a defense that you had last year, and all of a sudden, everything is garbage. Doesn't work that way. And you have Eli Manning on offense. You have a guy by the name of Odell Beckham Jr. on offense. You have Evan Ingram on offense. You follow what I'm saying? That's why these eight games are crucial. The Giants are going to have to say, you people mentioned John Mara. Everybody's going to look, what's good, what's bad, what's got to be fixed, what's not, how much needs to be fixed. Do we need a new set of tires, or do we need some patches on the flats?
No, it's true. It's true. And the unrestricted free agent list is certainly a big part of those decisions that have to be made. No doubt about that, Russ. Some tweets that I got that I want to pass to you. We got a Joe Miller who tweets to me. He was watching Super Bowl 21 to make him feel better the other night. And I understand that. One, Phil Simms was terrific in that game. We got another guy, Nick Gephardt, says he's already rewatched 42 and 46. That's not a bad idea. We got Andrew Walsh, who says there's a lot of other areas to look at before quarterback, which we tried to explain to you. So that's a very reasonable tweet. I love reasonable tweets, by the way.
Excuse me one second, Paulie. In case I'm seeing on our board here by Chase, the man who's manning the phones, is telling us for some reason the phone isn't working. So if you're trying, we have a little bit of a problem. So we apologize for that.
A malfunction.
Okay, it is a malfunction.
All right.
Not a wardrobe malfunction, just a malfunction.
Thank God for that, Russ. Nick Bronson has a very strange one. And, Nick, I know you're not meaning this to incite any flames, but it's a very odd question. He says, what do you think of the Giants and Sam Bradford? If Teddy Bridgewater is good, he'll most likely be released. That is Bradford by the Vikings. Why would the Giants want Bradford? That's an odd question.
No, you want to know, it's not an odd question. You know why it's not an odd question, Paul? Because when you're 1-7, everybody's okay. everybody's throwing everything up, you know what, up against the wall to see if it sticks. That's why it's not an odd question.
Okay, I guess I'll buy that one. But in any event, and here's Chris Grathwall. He says, trade the top five pick. Only if we can get two first-round picks for it, we need talent, not just bodies. We already have plenty of bodies. Well, as I said to you, based on market value, and that's only a few years ago with RG3, I mean, it cost the Redskins four premier picks. So you only want to take two? I think you're selling it short. I think you can get more than that. You're going to get a first rounder this year because you're going to have to swap spots, one next year, and you're going to get two additional picks if they can hold up whatever team is so interested in getting one of those quarterbacks. Based on that market value price, you're selling it short, my friend. I'm not selling that pick for just two first round picks. I want more.
Yeah, again, I'm not assessing. I don't, who and what is available. Listen, you just said something. Everybody's talking about we've heard it since day one with the offensive line, okay? But Paul just brought out a very good point. There's no Jonathan Ogden in there. Who was a guy? I know you. You'll know it. He was like, I think Michigan State.
3 years ago, Conklin?
No. I'm going back.
Okay.
I believe he was.
Tony Mandarich?
Mandarich. I mean, Michigan State? Who was he drafted
by?
Yeah.
He was with the Colts. He was with the Packers.
I think he was drafted by the Packers,
yeah.
If I'm not
mistaken.
Yeah, and
then later went to the Colts.
It was Tony Mandarich?
Yeah, and admitted substance.
No, but we're talking about a guy who was like 6'7". I mean, could not miss.
Well, he was supposed to be the King Kong of offensive linemen.
King Kong of offensive linemen? Boom. But I mean, you want to talk about a bust.
Admitted afterwards that he had substance issues.
I know, but a bust of busts. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
So, again, nothing is guaranteed. Wow. Well, we got a few minutes left. The phones, Chase, am I looking at you? The phones are up. Phones are back
up. Hey, how about that?
And we got Robert from Puerto Rico. So, Robert, God bless you. First of all, how are you and are you safe and your family there in Puerto Rico.
Hola.
Yes, how are you doing, guys?
Good, good.
Everything is fine in my part of the, you know, where I live in the north coast of the island.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been without no electricity for like 41 days, 42 days.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Well, all the best to you for sure.
But the worst thing is that I went through is that when I had my, like, I got received electricity and I finally got to see a game, it was very disappointing.
Almighty.
You know what? God bless you. Robert, I have to tell you something, my friend. God bless you for adding, and I mean this in a fun way, for adding some levity to the show. Here's a poor guy in Puerto Rico, hasn't had electricity for 40-some-odd days, and you get to see a game, and you got to see last week's game. Forgive me. I'm not laughing at you, Robert. I'm laughing with you, my friend.
No, that's okay, Russ. The thing is that I had a funny feeling this wasn't going to go, you know, it was going to go well the season for the team. When I saw the exhibition games, the offensive line, the way it was playing.
Right.
And I said to myself, here we go again. We're going through this nonsense with the offensive line. And my friends told me, what's wrong? I said, we're going to go through hell, I think, this year again. But thank God that Eli is doing well, you know, health-wise. He hasn't get hurt. And I'm dying to this season get over with. And, you know, they start, you know, drive down, like Paul was just said before, and get ball players to fix the offensive line and some other defense, too. But, man, I'm dying this season gets over. And Reese goals. Go away, give him his walking papers, because this guy has been doing a lousy job since the last 4 years.
Well, now, you know, Robert, listen, my friend, I understand your frustration.
Yes.
No.
I am very frustrated.
You got a lot more important things on your plate than a 1-7, team, and you know that. So first and foremost, I hope you and your family are okay. But listen. It's hard to say the last 4 years. I mean, that's a tough pill for me to swallow, because nobody was complaining about last year. And nobody was complaining about Robert going into this season. So the frustration, I get you. What needs to be done needs to be fixed. And I don't know how long you've been listening today, but that's why these next 8 games are very, very crucial, because everything has to be assessed. They have to figure out how much needs to be fixed, exactly what needs to be fixed, and how it's going to be fixed. But in the meantime, my friend, Robert, you take care of yourself. Feel free to call anytime. But the other problem,
they say, some people say Eli's not the problem.
Well,
Eli's doing well.
We concur with you on that, Robert.
God bless you guys. God bless
you too.
You
man.
Too, my friend. You take
All
care
the best,
of yourself.
Really.
All right, all right, buddy. Boy, oh boy, now. How do you not laugh? A guy calls up. The island is ravaged. And, folks, we're not laughing at that. But he calls up, and you can hear it in his voice. He says, what do I get? I'm 41 days without power. I get to watch a football game.
And he's one of the lucky ones.
Yeah.
All he lost was power. At least he didn't lose his home.
You know, so, I mean, gee.
Man.
But listen, like we said, it's a situation, folks, where you're just going to have to assess everything. And again, don't look at these 8 games as, you know, nothing. These 8 games, to me, are extremely important.
I agree.
And guys, we've said this, you know, we said it last week, last couple of weeks, test of character. It's a test of character for everybody what happens over the next 8 games. That being said, that is a wrap on today. As always, your number to call on Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com is 201-939-4513. Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. For my buddy, Paulie Dutz, Paul Dottino, I am Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being part of today, and we will see you next time.